Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to ProEFTRadio.com. This is Lindsay Kinney, your host. I want to welcome everyone and thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have this platform to share ideas with you about energy psychology, EFT, progressive EFT, my own brand, and other energy field therapies. I started with EFT about a decade ago, and I really believe that it saved my life. If you're new to the energy-based modality of tapping, then please visit us after the show at proeft.com to establish a foundation for yourself for the material we'll be covering in these programs, because we have a wealth of information, free and affordable information, on our website to help restore your mind, body, energy, and soul. So that's proeft.com. Again, don't go there during the show. Wait till after. But every Wednesday night at this time, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll be addressing common issues that challenge just about everyone during the course of their lives. We'll deal with stress, anxiety, fear, grief, shame, depression, self-esteem issues, and more. And I'll also take on pain and some of the stuck issues, such as weight, clutter, and procrastination. But it won't just be me working with you. I've invited some really exciting guests who are expert in their fields as well. So during many of these shows, you'll be able to call in or email us with questions. But our intention with these radio programs is to help you reclaim joy, peace of mind, and happiness in your life as you tap away your challenges. So thanks again for joining us. I'm pleased to welcome tonight's guest, who's a former student of mine, a colleague, and I'm proud to say also a friend now, and that's Sebastian Vandershire. Now, I know I've just murdered his name because he's Dutch, and so, Sebastian, just come on and pronounce your name the proper way.
Right. Hello, everyone. My name said the proper way is Vandershire.
I can't do it.
I forgive you for messing that up. Yeah.
I know. I've been practicing it, and I still couldn't even get close. I'll let him come on in a minute. I first want to tell you a little bit about him, and then I'll have Sebastian tell us a little bit about himself. But he's a personal coach from the Netherlands. So he's Dutch, and that's why he's got this name that I can't pronounce. He lives in Asia now, but I call him a citizen of the world because it seems to me that he's more mobile than a hummingbird. Sebastian specializes in using EFT to help people overcome their social phobias and social anxieties. One of the things I really love about Sebastian is the first time I spoke with him, he stated that he didn't want to just make a difference, that he wanted to make a huge difference in the world. And I really liked that right away about him. So I'm honored to have him as my first guest. So say hello again, Sebastian, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Lindsay. Okay. Well, like you said, I'm a man of the world. I travel quite a bit, and currently I'm in Cebu, the Philippines. And I suffered from social anxiety disorder myself for a long time, and life was really difficult back then. I tried to overcome it using all sorts of methods and techniques and therapies, but it didn't go as fast as I wanted. And I worked really hard at it. And in maybe 5 years, I sold about 50% of it until I ran into EFT. And once that happened and I found a practitioner that actually knew what he was doing, I solved my social anxiety disorder in 3 to 6 months, which was, you know, very impressive. And my whole life changed. And that was such an amazing experience that I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. For social anxiety disorder, there are not many solutions. Right now, everyone thinks they have to do cognitive behavioral therapy, which is like you have to do the thing you fear. And many people that suffer from social anxiety disorder are too afraid to do that. So I specialize in EFT and how to use it for social anxiety disorder. I've been doing that for a few years now, and today we're talking about self-esteem.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask that you just said, did you say that you solved yours in 3 to 6 months? Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. You really got over your anxiety with EFT?
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of traditional therapists or psychologists we'll just make people put them in social situations and then just kind of bear through it, kind of like they do with phobias about flying or something. They just put them in that situation and say, you know, just deal with it. But EFT does it in a much more gentle way. But tonight, and that's especially the part of social anxiety is the lack of self-esteem, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So how does somebody know that they have low self-esteem?
Yeah, good question, Lindsay. Well, self-esteem is simply said how you feel about yourself, your overall evaluation of yourself, how worthy you feel that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it easy to understand, if you feel really good about yourself, about who you are and what you're capable of, then you basically have high self-esteem. Now, if you, on the other hand, feel really bad about yourself, if you don't like and love and respect and accept yourself, and you don't trust yourself and your capabilities, then you suffer from low self-esteem. Now, most people are not aware that they actually have low self-esteem. You know,
really?
We've been feeling the way we have been feeling for a long time, so we're used to feeling that way, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know,
so,
go ahead.
Okay, so I have a couple of the characteristics that a lot of people with low self-esteem have, and I'd like to get into that for the listeners so that they might be able to pick up if they suffer from it themselves.
Sure, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
What are those characteristics?
Okay, well, people with low self-esteem, they don't feel very worthy and deserving of the good things in life. They're overly sensitive to criticism or disapproval, and they're just unsure about themselves. You know, they got a constant sense of uneasiness, not feeling adequate, not feeling they're able to do stuff. And in relation to social anxiety, when these people are out, they have a general, like a little bit of anxiety when they're in social situations.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to wear, as they would say, a social mask. So they're people pleasers. They're afraid to give their opinion. They're afraid to say no because they're afraid that people find out who the real person is, and they don't like themselves. So that is a problem.
That's when people often call somebody, you know, they just seem like a phony to me. So people pick that up. They think they're hiding behind a mask, but often other people get that there's something disingenuous about them, and they say, gee, that person just doesn't seem real or authentic. They seem phony to me. Is that what happened?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. And I think we all know these people, and it's a shame, really, but it's really difficult for them to open up.
Yeah. So why is it important for people to have high self-esteem, to recognize that it's low, and why is it important to change that, to have high self-esteem?
Right. Well, what I think, Lindsay, is the most important thing in life is to feel good. And if you have high self-esteem, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good about yourself. And what it does for you is it allows you to feel good by default. And I have a little bit of a theory about that. You want me to explain that?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, good. So if you have high self-esteem, you feel good by default because you feel good about who you are. If you have low self-esteem, you feel unhappy by default because you don't like who you are, and you know you have to be with yourself all the time. So then your happiness has to come from outside of you. You buy a new piece of clothing, or you buy a new car, or you get a promotion, or some form of success, and then you feel proud of yourself and you feel happy. But, you know, that is something outside of you, and it goes away. I mean, how long are you happy about a new car or a new piece of jewelry, right?
Yeah. And that's really important because the things on the outside of us change all the time. And if we hang our hat, our self-esteem, on the results in our life or somebody else's feedback about us or the job that we do, we're in big trouble because that's so volatile. It could change any minute. I had a medical doctor as a client once, about 42, that came to me, and she had a, I'm hearing some funny noise on the line. Can you hear that? Sorry about that.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's just on my end. But anyways, I have this medical doctor, really accomplished in her field, nice looking, had a nice family, a couple of kids, and a loving, successful husband. But she felt terrible about herself. She wondered why she didn't have joy in her life. And that's what she came to me for. She said, I have all these things and I'm not happy, and maybe I'm depressed or something, but I just don't feel good about things. And I said, how do you feel about yourself? And she said, well, I don't feel good about myself at all, even though I have all of this stuff around me. And that was a self-esteem issue. She couldn't figure out. She didn't recognize that she didn't have low self-esteem until I asked her, when did you learn that you weren't good enough? And then she kind of started crying.
Right.
And so that's really common. So what's, but then that leads us to kind of another question. What's the difference between self-esteem, low self-esteem or high self-esteem, and confidence?
Okay, well, good question. I'll give you my definition of it, Lindsay. What I think is your self-esteem is how you feel about yourself. It's your opinion of yourself, like I said before. Your confidence is about how you feel, how confident you feel about performing a certain task.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have confidence in a specific skill, but still have low self-esteem. And you can have high self-esteem, but have little confidence in performing a task.
Mm-hmm.
So to make this easier to understand, let me give you an example. You can be an excellent soccer player. I love playing soccer myself. And then when you're on the pitch, you feel really confident, but as soon as you leave, if you have low self-esteem, you start to feel rotten about yourself again.
Yeah.
And then, and then you can have high self-esteem, feel really great about yourself in general, but you feel low on confidence when you try something new that you're not good at. So piano playing, for example. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. And it goes back to this doctor I just mentioned. She mentioned that she was very confident in what she did. She was a surgeon and was highly acclaimed at her hospital. And she said, I don't understand. I'm really good at what I do, and people appreciate me, and that makes me feel good, except I'm not happy. So that's a good definition. So what do you think then causes low self-esteem?
Yeah, I've been investigating this quite for a bit. Like you told the listeners, I'm an ex-student of yours and probably still a student. I've studied your stuff and I've studied other people's stuff. And I kind of came to the conclusion that you're not born with it, or at least it's not common. It's rare that that happens.
Mm.
So basically, your experiences growing up are responsible for how you start to feel about yourself. And from there, you start to form beliefs about yourself. And then, especially in your formative years, like when you come into this world, you don't have any beliefs. And you don't believe things about yourself, about other people, about the world. You all pick these up. And that especially happens from age 0 to age 6. I know you're familiar with Bruce Lipton, Lindsay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So he's very much into that. He explains that very well in his book.
The biology
of belief.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because it makes sense. You learn from your parents when they're saying, what's the matter with you? Can't you do anything right? You know, why aren't you as good as your brother? What's wrong with you? And you start feeling unsafe and unacknowledged and unloved and not good enough. All of those core issues that we deal with in EFT, that's where our self-esteem or lack thereof is formulated in our childhood, right?
Yeah, I agree. Basically, if you did not receive enough love and approval and acceptance and safety in your early years, then you're not able to give that to yourself in the here and now in your adult life, and you tend to seek that outside of yourself. I think though to add on to that, it is like 90% of the cases it's the early childhood, but sometimes it's also like a big negative event that happens to people, like they've been cheated on, a really bad divorce, a big failure, or something like this. Like a big negative life experience that can also cause someone to start feeling bad about themselves, to think they're not good enough. If you're if you're cheated on and the person leaves you for someone else, then you tend to get that feeling, you know, there must be something wrong with me. You know?
Right. Can you give me some examples from your own life or from your clients of what some of the things that actually happened to people that you know or yourself that would have damaged their self-esteem?
Yeah, definitely. I'll give you some personal examples. So as we were talking, it is mostly formed in our early years. When I was six, my dad died. And that was obviously very difficult for my mom, as she was left behind with me and my sister.
Yeah.
And I was big buddies with my dad, and with my mom, I, you know, kind of had arguments because I wanted what I wanted, and she wouldn't allow me to do whatever I want. And that once my dad always solved the problem. And when he wasn't there anymore, that kind of caused trouble. And my mom also became a bit standoffish after he died, and she couldn't give me the love that I wanted. So we had a lot of fights, and I was placed outside of the house. I had to live with my uncle for a year. So can you see that gave me a belief about myself, or that made me feel a certain way about myself, that I, that I wasn't lovable, that I wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I see that in people all the time. That's a good example of things happening on the outside that affect us. As a child, you really don't have any choice about that, because that's where you're learning. And if there are things happening outside of you, when your parents get divorced or if they die or you're sent off to school, all of those things that can happen, the parents that fight in front of each other, all a child can do is just absorb that, and their perception then of what's going on really molds who they are. And so that really makes sense, and it's tragic because not many kids have a perfect life or perfect parents these days. So we
very little.
Yeah. So you and I deal with a lot of people that have self-esteem issues. So I know that they stem from those limiting beliefs, and those beliefs come from our childhood. And so, what are some of the common ones that you feel play a role? The beliefs, limiting beliefs from your self-esteem. Which ones play a role in your self-esteem?
Right. Well, common beliefs, it's really the I am beliefs. So I am not okay. I'm not good enough. I think that is the most common one. I'm not good enough.
Right.
We tend to compare ourselves all the time. So I'm not good enough. I don't deserve XYZ. I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve to be successful. I don't deserve to be loved. I'm unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not worthy. I think those are one of the most common ones. And there are other ones, but do you
there's one that comes up a lot. Maybe it's because I live here in the Bay Area, where we're really a melting pot for, you know, all over the world. But it's I'm different, and there's something wrong with that. So I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people here that most of the people here in the Bay Area, particularly in California, only 40% of people in our state have English as their first language. So 60% are from someplace else. Well, that makes people feel that they're different and there's something wrong with them. But then there are a lot of other things, too. Kids have big ears or crooked legs or teeth or red hair or freckles, or they're short or tall or fat or anything different. You know, kids tend to pick on those things. And then that leads to those other beliefs that you were talking about, I'm not okay or I'm not good enough.
Right.
So
right.
How would you, do you have any other examples of clients that you've had, things that you saw in their life that caused low self-esteem?
Sure. I had a client a while ago. He was a pretty young client. And so we dealt with his early past, or with when he was really young. And then he still didn't feel good about himself because there was this major event. He had a mole on his face. And for some reason, he decided he wanted to get rid of it. And he found on the internet some advice that he could shave it off. I'm not sure on what forum that has been, but that's definitely not the best advice I would give someone to do it a mole. But he did it, and it was pretty traumatic because he shaved it off, and it wouldn't stop bleeding, so he had to go to the doctor, and you had to go to school the next day, and it was like a really big thing. He was incredibly ashamed of it, so a lot of shame and embarrassment and humiliation, and he really felt from that moment onwards that he was ugly, that he was dead ugly. So we treated that with EFT. We got rid of all the emotions with it, and we changed the belief. So when we have such an event, it's not just the emotions we have, but we also make a decision about ourselves. And in his case, he made the decision that he's ugly now. And we changed that belief to women, because he had a scar, so women find scars sexy. And that really changed how he felt about himself, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that's a great reframe. That's a really good reframe, that you change it from a bad thing to aren't I cool, because tough guys have scars from knife fights or something that women find sexy about that. But that's a great reframe. Yeah, good for you. I had a client, I was thinking about the opposite side of that. I actually had a young client in her early 20s and really was still in college, and she had terribly low self-esteem. But it really, instead of it being parents that were bad or a terrible childhood, and similar to this doctor, she actually had a privileged life, and everything got taken care of for her financially and otherwise. They had servants and people that took care of things and people that did her homework and assignments, and so she never had the chance, the opportunity to face any adversity and to build self-esteem by seeing an accomplishment of any kind. If she got in trouble, her parents just bailed her out, so there were no consequences and there were no rewards for doing good work, or that she could feel like she accomplished. If she got good grades, well, she knew it was because her tutor did most of the work. And so sometimes it comes from positive things, which aren't, they may appear to be positive, but in fact it was detrimental. Self-esteem just has to be, built or evolved throughout our life, or the lack thereof. So let me ask you then, Sebastian, how do you use EFT to improve self-esteem?
Okay, Lindsay. That's very interesting. I've not dealt with any clients that had that. So okay, interesting. How I use tapping to improve self-esteem. I'm a very logical and orderly thinker, just like yourself, basically. And I have a three-step process as to how to approach that. You want me to get into that?
Yes, would you? That's great.
Okay, good. So since we know that low self-esteem in like 90% of all the cases comes from early childhood, as we just established, when I have a client, I first start to ask them some questions about how it was for them growing up. Ask them what their relationship was like with their parents, how they were treated at school, how they interacted with their peers, their siblings, etc. And then I look for repetitive negative experiences that made them feel bad about themselves as they were growing up as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically responsible for their low self-esteem. And once I figure that out, I use a really powerful technique, actually learned from you, Lindsay, known as the bundling baggage technique.
Oh, that sounds like a great technique.
It does.
Well, explain how it works then. Let me test you and see how good you are at describing it and using it.
All right, pressure. So for the listeners that don't know it, this technique is a little bit different from standard EFT. Because here you don't have to work with one specific event and be really specific as you would normally do, but instead you can bundle a whole bunch of repetitive negative experiences together, so experiences that are very similar. My understanding is that by using the bundling baggage, you tune into the overall feeling that you had during that period. So if you're working on your childhood, you tune into that feeling of your childhood, how bad you felt back then.
Uh-huh.
And along with that, you tune in with the limiting beliefs that you formed about yourself back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then you systematically tap away the negative feelings and you get back to your natural state of self-esteem.
Okay, so by getting rid of the negative, then that restores their self-esteem? Do you want to show the listeners how to...
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. I want to show them how to do it, absolutely. However, because I want my answer to be right, at the end, you kind of help them out by tapping in some positives as well.
Yes, that's good. You said there were three steps to the process. So first you bundle the negative stuff from their childhood, and then what are you going to get into the other two steps, or do you want to tell about them now?
Well, I tell about the other two steps now, and then maybe we can try the bundling baggage together, and they
right.
can... Good. So once this is done, they feel quite a bit better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to look for other significant negative experiences that they had growing up. So what we just talked about, the example of my client who shaved off his mole, like basically experiences that made them feel really bad about themselves, where they feel really incapable or insecure. And we treat those with EFT. I like to use matrix re-imprinting on that, very effective technique.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step two. And then as a step three, I ask them how they feel about themselves in the here and now. And then they might come up with answers, well, I'm disappointed in myself. I don't like this about myself. I don't like that about myself. And then we just use EFT on those feelings that they have about themselves.
To just change them.
Where necessary. Exactly. Yeah,
okay.
You change them. And
that sounds good. It's what kind of what I do, too. What were you going to say? I keep stepping on you. We have just a little bit of a time lag.
Yeah, there's a bit of a delay.
Well,
you're
on the other side of the world where you can't pronounce your name right. That's not my fault.
And you know what? I'm even sitting in an internet cafe, so
because
I was afraid that I was going to connect me because it's a third world country, so I have to. So here's a backup. But what I wanted to say, Lindsay, is there's actually a fourth step that I advise people to do once we have accomplished this, and it's basically like developing high self-esteem on steroids. But let's get into that after the bundling baggage. How's that?
Okay, let's do that. All right, so then let's just pretend that you tell me, you know, I don't have any baggage left, but how would you have, let's just go through it for the people, the listeners, and encourage them to tap along with us. In fact, I'm going to tell you guys, the listeners, really briefly about borrowing benefits, so it's another double B alliteration. This is where, no matter what we say, you know, as Sebastian and I tap together and say certain words, you can work on your own issues saying the same words that we are saying. So you want to write down, Sebastian's going to give me directions or give us directions, and I want you guys to do it. Get your pen and papers out. Don't just listen to this. Actually participate. And so when you get the intensity, you write down your intensity, how strong you think it is about your issues. Give it a name. Do all those steps he's going to do. But when we tap, since everybody's on mute, you guys just tap along with us, saying the words that we're saying. Just put aside your own issues and tap using the words that we're saying and tapping on the points. And Sebastian will lead us through that. And then you'll notice when we go back and measure the intensity that yours most likely will have dropped, even though we're being general about it and even though it's not directly using your words. But there's some kind of a magic about that's called borrowing benefits. So then how would you tell the listeners to proceed? What do you want them to do first, Sebastian?
Right. If you could be my echo, and I'll use as a client, and I'll give you the same instructions, and everyone listening can, follow up on the same instructions, and
sure.
Then just tap with your examples.
Okay.
Does that
all
work?
Right.
Okay, good. All right, so first what you do is you think about your early childhood, and then think maybe about age 0 to 10, age 0 to 12, roughly. And then you gather in your mind repetitive things that happen. So abuses, traumas that you experience repetitively, and you write all of those down. So all things that were often said to you, things that often happened to you, things that were repetitive. So maybe your parents always screamed at you. Maybe they always said, "Can't you do anything right?"
You knew my mom, right?
Any other examples from that? Maybe it wasn't safe in your household. Maybe you didn't feel at ease. Basically, you write down what happened repetitively that caused you to feel not good about yourself or being in the house.
So I would write down, Dad always and Mom always fought with each other. And they always blame me for the stuff that my brother did, or I got yelled at no matter what my grades were, they weren't good enough. Or if I did some chore around the house, I got criticized for it. Whatever that happens over and over again, they just jot down those different events like that. But not individual ones, just the repetitive ones, the things that happen over and over, rather than focusing on a particular one. Is that right?
That is exactly right, yes.
I want to point out something, that this is very different than traditional EFT. This is a progressive EFT technique, because in traditional EFT, you're taught to focus on a specific event and tune in to that feeling that you had so that you get in touch with the emotion. The bad thing about that is that you sometimes have to experience that negative feeling again and almost relive it. With bundling baggage, you are not focusing on an individual event. You're focusing on a group of events that are similar that made you not feel, that made you feel badly about yourself. Is that right? Is that where you're going with this, Sebastian?
That's where we're going. And I also find that some of my clients are not even able to tune into the feeling that they had back then. They're more rare than other clients. Most people can tune into that feeling that they had as they were growing up, but some people cannot. Mm-hmm. If you cannot, that is fine. It is still there, and your subconscious knows what you're working on if you write down those phrases. So the
okay.
second step would be to give that a name that represents that period, and that can be anything. My challenging childhood, my verbally abusive childhood, my not good enough childhood, my perfectionistic childhood, my angry mother childhood, anything. And it doesn't have to be that specific. If you can't come up with it, it doesn't matter much. Then you just call it my childhood baggage.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, a lot of people do that. Some people use profanity or call it their childhood from hell or my awful parents. Just something that's descriptive. And one of the, it's not a mistake. It just doesn't work as well if somebody just calls it I'm sad. You know, they give it an emotion of how they're feeling. That's not quite descriptive, because we want to now they could say my sad childhood. In other words, it's kind of like a noun, the name of something, a big pile that they're creating, because we want to get rid of that big mass that it's causing, along with the feelings as well, right? Okay, so good. So what's the next step? So now we've written down, just jotted some phrases of things that happened in the childhood and then given it a name. And then what's the next thing?
Right. So the next thing is you rate it from 0 to 10, 10 being the most intense or the most negatively impactful, 0 being not impactful at all, from how you felt back then. And that is everything combined. So how all those experiences from your childhood made you feel. And, most of my clients, to 10.
That's right, yeah. If they don't know and they say, well, I don't know, I really can't get in touch with it, what do you tell them then?
Then I talk them through a little visualization. I have them look in their mind how big that pile of baggage is.
Mm-hmm. Good, yeah, like how high is it, how big is the pile? Or just sometimes I'll have them guess. But just how do you think it affected you then as a child, even if you can't get in touch with it now? And we just tap on the inner child. Do you do that too?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Example. Or I say some people, it's really difficult for them to guess about themselves. Then it's okay, well, how would you think that a kid your age would feel if the same thing would happen to that kid, would happen to you? And that can sometimes help. Or like, that would be horrible. Yeah.
And that's a great thing. That's a great suggestion, Sebastian, because it takes it away from them even having to get in touch with it or any of that negative feeling. That's great. So how would somebody, how do you think a child would feel? That's terrific. Yeah. Okay, and then what's the next step?
So, well, before we get into that, can you give me your name and your intensity?
Okay, so I'll say my name is Sadie, and it's a 10.
Okay, well, I meant, can you give me your name for the bundle, Lindsay? So that I don't have to call you Sadie.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to pretend to be somebody else. Yeah, well, let's say it's a 10. That's what most people's number is, a 10. And we'll just call it a childhood baggage.
Okay, good. Okay, so do we now know the name? We know the intensity. Then, then we're going to start tapping in. We do a reversal neutralization first. And I learned it from Lindsay. Yeah, I'll tell you what I think that it is. What this does is we've been holding on to these feelings about ourselves for a really long time. And our subconscious has all sorts of reasons as to why it doesn't want to let go. Might not feel safe, might not feel that you deserve to let it go. There are all sorts of reasons for that. And that's why we first do a reversal neutralization. And what that does is it gets rid of this subconscious resistance to changing how you feel. It doesn't change anything really about the feeling, but it just gets rid of the blockage to changing how you feel about yourself.
Good.
Is that right, Lindsay?
Yep, that's good. Good explanation, and it's really important to do that because otherwise there's a part of you that doesn't want to let it go. And what I'm going to do is give people a, at the end, help remind me to do this, and I'll give people a link that they can go to and watch a little video about that on my site and learn more about reversals. So why don't you start that? Well, if you want to just do a reversal neutralization now, let's just show it and just lead me through it like I was a regular person.
Sure. Sounds good. Okay. So what I want you to do is, for my clients, I call it the weird karate chop because it's basically both karate chops against each other.
Okay.
So do I have to explain it some more or is it?
No,
does that make sense?
No, I'll have a tapping point chart on my on the radio station page so that people can download that.
Oh, okay. So it's both karate chops against each other, and then just repeat after me out loud. And it might not make a lot of sense. It's a bit different from normal tapping, but just go with it. As you say the things I say, things will happen. That's basically
okay.
It. It's easy.
Yeah. Again, I want to remind the viewers to not just listen to this, but actually do it. And the karate chop, and in case you don't have the tapping chop, tapping chart, it's on the side of your hand, the fleshy part below your little finger. So we're going to tap on that first. So go ahead and lead us through that, Sebastian.
Okay, so here we go. So tapping both karate chops against each other. Say out loud, even though I don't want to let go of all my childhood baggage.
Even though I don't want to let go of all of my childhood baggage.
I do want to love and accept myself.
I do want to love and accept myself.
Even though it might not be safe to let go of my childhood baggage.
Even though it might not be safe to let go of my childhood baggage.
Because it might protect me in some way.
It might protect me in some ways.
And maybe I don't deserve to let it go.
Maybe I don't deserve to let it go.
Maybe I'm not good enough for it.
Maybe I'm not good enough for it.
And I need to hold on to my childhood baggage because it's how I punish myself.
I need to hold on to this baggage because it's how I punish myself.
And I don't want to let it go because I don't want to forgive them and myself.
I don't want to let it go because I don't want to forgive them or myself.
And my childhood baggage gives me a great excuse.
and my childhood baggage gives me a great excuse for my life not working.
Right. So I refuse to let it go.
I refuse to let it go.
But I want to love and accept who I am today.
But I want to love and accept who I am today.
Even though I don't want to let go of my childhood baggage.
And we're still on the karate chop, right?
Definitely.
Even though I don't want to let go of my childhood baggage.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
Whether that reason is conscious or not.
Whether it's conscious or not.
Valid or invalid.
Valid or invalid.
I do want to love and accept myself today.
I do want to love and accept myself today.
Excellent. Then you shake out your hands if you washed your hands and you don't have a towel.
Okay, that's a good explanation. So, Sebastian, explain to the listeners, why do you say I want to love and accept myself instead of I do love and accept myself?
Because it's easier to get around the resistance. People with low self-esteem basically often struggle with self-acceptance. So when you say I want to love myself, you know, that's a little less strong as saying I love myself. Some people simply cannot say that.
Exactly, and especially if you're dealing with something like self-esteem. They don't like themselves, so it's hard to say, and they'll say I love and accept myself, and part of their brain is going, no, I don't. Yeah, so that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, sounds like a lie.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah. So what do we do next?
So we shake out our hands, and we've taken a deep breath, and then we go to the karate chop the normal way. So just tap on the side of your hand, karate chop.
Okay.
And then just repeat after me out loud.
Okay.
Say, even though, after all these years...
Even though after all these years...
I'm still deeply affected... excuse me.
I'm deeply affected by my childhood baggage.
I want to love and accept myself right now.
I want to love and accept myself right now.
Good. And then we're going to say the phrase at each and every point...
Okay.
So beginning of the eyebrows.
Okay.
My childhood baggage.
My childhood baggage.
Inside of the eyes, my childhood baggage.
My childhood baggage.
Under the eyes, my childhood baggage.
Childhood baggage. Why don't you
under
just
the
say
nose
it,
and mouth the same. Huh? Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
So you just say it and we'll just
gotcha.
Tap because
gotcha.
You're
gonna gotcha.
Do the same thing. Okay. Under the nose and chin.
Under the nose and mouth at the same time. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the collarbone. My childhood
uh-huh.
baggage. Under the
okay.
arms, my childhood baggage. On the liver point, my childhood baggage. On the wrist point, my childhood baggage.
Okay.
And then on the top of the head, my childhood baggage.
Okay, good.
And then we go to the beginning of the eyebrows, and then I usually have asked my client a bunch of questions about how it was, and those questions describe how it was for them. I now haven't done that really, so, Lindsay, can you vent a little bit about how it was with your childhood baggage?
Yeah, okay. So one of the things I do is I'll do one point, and then I'll just say your turn and make them say what I just ask them to say whatever comes up for them next. So
okay.
I did my eyebrows, I'd say, you know, or my mom and dad always yelled at me. You just want me to do all of them myself?
Well, it's a bit difficult because I don't know what it was, but I can give you some general phrases.
Well, you would have normally you would have asked the client to tell me a little bit about that, what was going on in your childhood, so you would know those little bit about it. You know, about mom said I couldn't do anything wrong, and dad said I'd never mount anything, and so you just kind of repeat back what the client has said. So let's just, you know, we'll kind of ping pong back and forth and just say some common things that we know are true about childhood things. How's that?
Okay.
Right.
Okay, that's good. So I'll start you off. So at the beginning of the eyebrows, mm-hmm. it was really difficult for me growing up.
Yeah, all right. So outside of the eyes, I couldn't do anything right according to my parents.
Under the eyes, they were constantly disappointed in me.
Yeah, and under those, I had to move from school to school and start all over again, not feeling good about myself.
On the chin, I constantly was the outsider.
Okay, under the arms, I felt so different all the time.
Under the arms, I really believed that there was something wrong with me.
Okay. And on the wrist, we never had enough money, so I had to wear raggedy clothes.
Top of that, this is actually a personal one. I was walking around with bowling shoes.
Well, okay. Yeah, I had to walk around with these floppy canvas shoes, too, with holes. Yeah, I think we you and I, as different as we are on other sides of the world, we had some of the similar things, you know, poverty in our childhood, which really makes a difference for most kids. Okay, so we do a round of venting, and then what?
Okay, well, after that, you reassess your number. So in the beginning, it was a 10, so then I asked them, okay, so what is your number now? If it was a 10 then, what is the number now? Is it still the same? Has it changed? What's going on now?
Well, let's say it's a 5. Let's say it's a 5.
Okay. So if it's a 5 now, I would ask you, so Lindsay, what would be the emotions that you experienced a lot as you were growing up?
So tell us why that's a good thing to do. It's what I do. Tell the listeners why you now ask about the emotions and not the events that happened.
Because the events that happened were repetitive, and the emotions because of these events, you felt a certain way. So
It's also hard to bring those up if the intensity is a 10. You don't want to be talking about how sad or tragic it was while it's really highly charged. And it comes down to a 5, and then it's okay to start talking about, you know, it was painful, I felt ashamed, and those sort of things, right?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You know, so it charges it a little. All right, so let's pick out some ones you know or common. People would probably have felt angry, frustrated, resentful. As a child, what else?
Okay. Probably ashamed, embarrassed, and humiliated.
Exactly.
And,
I think that those 6 are the main ones, don't you think? You know, there's other stuff.
Yeah, fearful and anxious, yeah.
Yeah, fear,
absolutely.
Anxiety, uncertainty, and abandonment, those sort of things. But, boy, the first thing, they're mad at their parents. They feel angry, resentful, and frustrated. They couldn't do anything about it. And then they feel ashamed, embarrassed, humiliated, for how they felt, whatever was going on. And there's often blame and whatever. There's just a plethora of emotions. The good thing about this process that Sebastian's doing is that you can put all of that together, all of those emotions together. And so then what's our next step? We have about 10 to 12 minutes left or so, Sebastian. So take us to the next step. Did we lose you, Sebastian? Sebastian. Oh, dear. We may have lost Sebastian. I'll see if we did. I think his internet connection dropped off. I was hearing a lot of noise. So I'm going to take up from for where he was and see if he calls back in. What we do now is on the eyebrows, we go back to the karate chop point and do another setup statement. So go back to your karate chop point and say, even though I still have this childhood baggage, I want to love and accept myself anyway. So I'll pause since I don't have an echo person. Even though I still have a lot of baggage left, there's a bigger half of me that's brave and smart and wants to let it go. And I want that part of me to prevail. Okay, now take a deep breath, and then we'll start at the eyebrows again, and we're going to do a round just saying the negative statement. We're going to add the emotions in this time. All of these negative feelings about my childhood, all of the outside of the eyes, all of the anger, frustration, and resentment, and under the eyes, all of the shame, embarrassment, and humiliation, under the nose, feeling really terrible and frustrated about my childhood. I think we have Sebastian back here. Let's see if I can get him on with us. I see he called back in. Sebastian, do we have you yet? Sebastian, are you there? He must be frustrated. He can probably hear me, but I can't hear him. Let's try this. Sebastian, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got you now. I just kind of took up where you left off, and I think I'm on the second round doing, or maybe I'm still on the first round. We're on the collarbone, just doing emotions. So, gee,
okay,
I don't need you. You can just hang up, and I'll just keep going.
Okay, well, really, really quickly, I'm sorry, but there's a brownout, so the half of the city doesn't have any electricity. So I'm calling from my cell phone internationally, so I'm not sure how long that is going to go well.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's do this. We only have a few minutes left. You're going to run up very high internet, international charges. In fact, Sebastian, since we only have a little bit left, let me just, I'll finish this off, and you can hang up, but I want you to give people your website first. I'm going to say it, and then you make sure I've got it right. It's www.social-anxiety-solutions.com. Would you say it again?
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's plural. All right.
Social.
I'm right. Sorry, Lindsay, but this is outside of my control, I'm afraid.
I know. That's okay, Sebastian. I said things happen. You hang up. I'll finish this for you. Whoops, he's already gone. That's funny. He's in Thailand, and it sounds like they're having some problems. So his website is social-anxiety-solutions, plural, .com. So let's finish up with his tapping. So on the collarbone, you would just say some more of your negative feelings. I felt so ashamed and embarrassed. Under the arms, I was so angry at how they treated me. On the liver, I felt so sad and alone sometimes. And on the wrist, it wasn't fair. Because I'm going fast, I don't have an echo. You don't have to repeat these things after me. You can listen to this again if you want and fill in your own words. But you don't have to repeat them. Top of the head, it wasn't my fault. Well, on the eyebrows, let's do that some more of that again because children tend to think it's their fault. So on the eyebrows, it really wasn't my fault outside of the eyes, but I felt like it was. Under the eyes, it's not fair. And under the nose, I want to let this go now. On the collarbone, I want to let go of my awful childhood. Under the arms, I allow myself to let it go. On the liver, I choose to let it go. On the wrist, I choose to let go of the pain and the hurt and the sadness from my childhood. Top of the head, I want to acknowledge that little child for being so brave. And take a deep breath. And what you want to do with yourself, because we don't have time to go through the whole thing, the rest of this on the show, I'm going to do a bundling baggage call here in about a week. You can find that on my website under EFTTeleclasses.com. And I'll post that soon. We'll do more about the bundling baggage. But I want to finish up with it, what we do now. We get through the childhood stuff, and you're done. You've tapped that away, and you're at a zero. You may need to do a couple more rounds till you feel it's completely neutralized. Then you want to look at any other, what we call SEECs, or significant emotional events. If you've broken up, a boyfriend, girlfriend broke up with you, broke your heart, you were betrayed by somebody close to you, there was a business failure or some other kind of failure, you flunked out of college, got embarrassed by being accused of something, whatever it might have happened that were significant emotional events, especially if they made you form a negative belief or feeling about yourself, that's going to contribute to your low self-esteem. So you want to tap that away doing the same protocol that we just did. And you can find the resources for that on my website at proeft.com. So go there and finish tapping that away. Then the next step that Sebastian talked about, which is really important, is then tapping in how you want to feel, how you want to feel about yourself. I'm not sure this is exactly what he said. His third step is you want to get rid of all of the negative things, and then you want to tap in how you want to feel. So for this part, I don't even often use the karate chop. I just start saying how you want to feel. So let's just try this. So on the eyebrows, I want to feel good about myself. And outside of the eyes, I want to acknowledge the good traits about myself. And then under the eyes, and then you could start saying things that are true about you. Since I don't know who all of our listeners are, I'll just show you some ideas. I'm smart and under the nose and chin. I'm resourceful on the collarbone. I'm a good person under the arms. I'm a good friend. On the liver, I'm a good provider. I'm a good brother, sister, daughter, you know, whatever, mother, whatever your relationship with others might be. Top of the head, I want to acknowledge myself for all of my skills, talents, and abilities. I'll tell you, on my website, there's a process that I have. I believe it's on the free stuff page. It's called Personal Power Process, and I give it as an assignment for my clients often. You can download that and do that process, which is a great esteem-building process. In fact, it's called 3 Steps in 15 Days to Personal Transformation, and it really does help allow you to focus on the good things about yourself. So I don't see any callers for tonight. We didn't have this open for a forum for call-ins. So I want to wrap up the show tonight. Thanks, Sebastian, in his absence. I know he must feel terrible about getting cut off, but I know he can't help that. He was looking forward to this. So I want to thank him, and I want to thank you for listening in either after the fact or now. Go to my website, proeft.com, for resources on the free stuff page, frequently asked questions. You can see my upcoming workshops on my workshops page. And then join us next week. We're going to be talking about ways to learn EFT through workshops and videos and other forms, and getting certified, becoming a practitioner if you want to, or just using it for self-help. So again, I thank you all for joining us, and we're going to call it an end for tonight. And I want to thank Sebastian once again. Bye-bye.